Above the Bay of Angels, a novel, written by Rhys Bowen and read by Gemma Dawson.
Chapter 1. London, September 1896. If Helen Barton hadn't stepped out in front of an omnibus, I might still be sweeping floors and lighting fires at an ostentatious house in St. John's Wood. But for once, I had followed my father's advice. Carpe diem was one of my father's favourite sayings. Seize the day. Take your chances. He usually added, because that might be the only chance you get. He spoke from experience. He was an educated man from a good family and had known better times. As the son of a second son, he could expect to inherit neither a title nor the property that would have come with it, and was sent out to India to make something of himself, becoming an officer in the Bengal Lancers. He had married my mother, a sweet and delicate creature he met on one of his visits home. It was soon clear that she couldn't endure the harsh conditions of Bengal, so Daddy had been forced to resign his commission and return to live in England. From what Daddy told us, it had been made evident to him as a young man that he could expect no financial help from his uncle, the Earl. He never told us why, or what rift had occurred within his family, but he was clearly bitter about it. However, he had finally fallen on his feet in a way and had acquired what was considered a prestigious position. He was in charge of guest relations at the Savoy, London's new luxury hotel. His ability to speak good French and mingle with crowned heads had made him popular at the hotel. He had patted the hands of elderly Russian countesses and arranged roulette parties for dashing European princes, for which he received generous tips. We had lived quite happily in the small town of Hampstead on the northern fringes of London. My younger sister Louisa and I attended a private school. We had a woman who came to clean and cook for us. It was not an extravagant life, but a pleasant one. Until it all came crashing down when the demon drink overcame my father. He worked at an establishment where the alcohol flowed freely amongst the guests. When invited, he took a glass, as it would have been rude to refuse. So who would notice if he later finished off a bottle? I remember the first time he came home drunk.
"Roddy, where have you been?"
my mother asked him when he arrived home at 10 o'clock.
"We waited dinner for you. I was worried."
"None of your business, woman,"
he spat out the words. My mother winced as if he had struck her. My little sister grabbed my hand. We had never seen our father like this. He was normally so amiable and adored my mother.
"Roddy, have you been drinking?"
Mummy said coldly.
"Just being sociable with the clients. Part of the job, don't you know?" he said.
Then he added, his voice rising aggressively,
"I have to work for my living, or have you forgotten that? After all, it was because of you that I had to give up my commission in India and take a menial job, bowing and scraping to those who should be my equals. Now where's my dinner?"
I saw my mother's horrified stare as she blinked back tears. After that day, nothing was the same. It felt as if we were walking on eggshells. We never knew when he'd come home or what kind of mood he'd be in. Sometimes he was as jovial and affectionate as ever, but other times it was as if he'd turned into a monster I didn't recognize. Louisa and I spent a lot of time hiding away in our bedroom. Mummy tried hard at first, begging him to stop drinking and think of his family, but nothing she said reached him. And in the end she just seemed to give up and fade like a wilting flower. She had never been strong to begin with. I suppose we had all been dreading what happened next.